Christian minister and realtor has been found guilty of hate speech for simply posting Bible verses on social media. Meanwhile, another pastor has been accused of ruining kids' Christmas for simply telling the truth about Santa Claus. And then, in Canada, one Ontario town has been fined $10,000 for refusing to celebrate Pride Month. The mayor has held his ground, and as a result, his bank account has been garnished by LGBT group after his town refused to celebrate Pride Proclamation. Meanwhile, federal prisons are reportedly blocking faith groups from helping offenders overcome criminal past. And then one more story we're going to talk about today. Doctor surrenders their license after allegedly asking their patient, who revealed abortion, if she had Jesus in her life. We're going to talk about all this today because persecution is alive and well in 2024. And as we get into 2025, I only expect it to increase around the world. Let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, everybody? It is Monday, December the 23rd. We are literally 48 hours away from Christmas Day. I hope everybody's having a great week. I suspect a lot of you guys will be traveling, probably starting now. You may already be on the road. You may be flying or whatever the case may be. We're praying for you and your family, for your travel mercies. We're also asking the Lord that you would have a blessed time with your family and your friends and whoever you're celebrating this Christmas holiday with and this season with. We do want to welcome you to the podcast today. Again, this is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. Listen, we'd love for you guys to help us out here on YouTube and on Rumble. And you could do that by hitting that like button. Go ahead and subscribe and hit that bell notification. That way you can keep up with us here on social media and you won't miss any of our podcast. Also, we always want to encourage you to pick up our free app today. It's available on app on Android devices. Pick it up today. It'll be a great blessing to you. It's absolutely free. Hit yes to push notifications and you'll be squared away. So we've got several stories we want to talk about today. And these are all in regards to persecution. We know Jesus told us that one of the hallmarks of true, authentic Christianity and true faith in him is going to be persecution. If they persecuted Christ, how much more are they going to persecute you? If the teacher himself is subject to scrutiny and persecution, how much more will the students of that teacher be subjected to that as well? And we know, you know, the Bible talks about this will be one of the earmarks of what we must endure. In Matthew 24, it says, "He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." And we know in the book of John, John tells us that the day would come when people would try to terminate you, eliminate you in the name of religion, saying they're doing God's work in trying to get rid of you. And so this is only going to increase. It's only going to escalate as we get closer and closer to the coming of the Lord and the end of the age. This first story is a great example of this. I want to pull this up. I'm going to show you. This is from the Christian Post. All right, a Christian minister and realtor found guilty of hate speech for posting Bible verses on social media. I'm going to read an excerpt of this, and then we got a video that gives you more details of this. A Virginia realtor and Christian minister has been found guilty by an ethics panel after he quoted Bible verses on social media. Wilson Faber, 70 years of age, a longtime realtor with over four decades in the industry was found in violation of National Association of Realtors Code of Ethics, which prohibits realtors from using harassing speech, hate speech, epithets, or slurs related to race, color, religion, sex, disability, family status, national origin, sexual orientation, or gender identity. The post in question, which were made years before the NAR's adoption of the rule in 2020, included Faber's views on marriage and human sexuality according to traditional Christian teachings. And again, this is all from his attorney. Now, we got a video here we're going to show you. It's going to give you more details on this.
Which is a realtor's right to post Bible verses on his Facebook page. A free speech case in Virginia challenges a realtor's right to post Bible verses on his Facebook page. The Virginia Association of Realtors ruled Wilson Faber committed a breach of ethics because his post violated a prohibition on, quote, certain religious expressions. Faber told CBN's Wendy Griffith he did nothing wrong and is expected to appeal.
This started to come to light last year when 70-year-old Wilson Faber, a realtor and pastor, decided to run for Staunton City Council. Long before his decision to run, Faber reposted a scripture from Reverend Franklin Graham on his Facebook page in 2015. It stated that homosexual sex is a sin based on Leviticus 18:22.
Well, there's the firestorm right
there. Then, last year, two Staunton realtors, including an openly gay man, filed a complaint with the Virginia Association of Realtors accusing Faber of hate speech.
Why do you think this is all coming out now in 2024?
Because the National Association of Realtors is woke. The leadership of the National Association of Realtors has made it very clear about their involvement and endorsing and approving of the LGBTQ community.
And look at this. This is all endorsements. You see all these sponsors, endorsements. Wow, look at this. I mean, it's everywhere. So he's spot on. This guy's not
And just
not
recently,
wrong.
Just a few weeks ago, actually, in Charlottesville, Virginia, the National Association of Realtors provided funding for a drag queen show.
The Charlottesville Area Association of Realtors hosted the November drag show in the name of a fair housing symposium, reportedly funded in part by the
Wait, time out. What has this got to do with real estate? Unbelievable, isn't it? Like, what? This is unbelievable.
National Association of Realtors Fair Housing Grant. We contacted the NAR for comment, and no one has responded to our request.
Look, hold on. Let's rewind this. Look at this. Look at this flyer. Inclusivity and Celebration. Fair Housing Symposium. Symposium, I believe that's how you pronounce it. Featuring a drag show and fireside chat. Okay, here's the drag queens. And then right here, guys, this event is made possible by a National Association of Realtors Fair Housing Grant. What in the world does this have to do with this? What is the equation here? It just doesn't make any sense
to me. The NAR for comment, and no one has responded to our request.
Of course they haven't.
So let me get this straight. So they can use realtor funds for drag queen shows, but he can't post a biblical scripture on Facebook to support traditional marriage.
That's the position that's being suggested. Yep.
Michael Sylvester with Founding Freedom's Law Center represents Faber and tells CBN News that while this is a violation of free speech, there's a catch.
So it all changed in 2020 when the National Association of Realtors adopted a rule that prohibits anybody from speaking what they deem hate speech against certain protected classes, such as sexual orientation or gender identity. But what's incredible here is the post that Wilson made was in 2015, 5 years before that rule even existed. He simply was presenting his religious views about marriage. That should not qualify for a hate speech charge.
For now, Faber can keep his real estate license while they pursue a possible appeal. He says this guilty ruling, however, sets...
And let's just get real here. I'm willing to bet that if he wouldn't have entered into politics, running for city council, then this would have never come to light. But the fact that his face is up there and he's running for a political position, that's when all this came out. Again, this is spiritual warfare, guys. This is demonic. It's this this agenda to silence voices in the political arena or any arena of influence that stands on the Bible and the Word of God. There is demonic assignments of hell that want to snuff out and silence these voices. That's the unadulterated truth on this. There's no other way to slice this and cut this. That's what's going on here.
It's a bad precedent and will likely affect other organizations, not just realtors.
Christians don't have rights, and this is just totally wrong. And the National Association of Realtors, being the largest trade organization in America, they have set a precedent by adopting this policy. If I'm guilty because I post my religious beliefs in a meme or a scripture on my Facebook or social media account.
I love the boldness of this guy. You got to give it to this guy. This guy, look at this. Most Christians would not even post that because of the backlash. And this guy's a real estate agent. He's running for an office in politics, and he's boldly proclaiming the word of the Lord, the unadulterated word of the Lord.
If that's guilty of hate speech, there are millions and millions of Christians that agree with my position, and we don't have a voice.
If the guilty verdict stands, Faber could face fines as high as $15,000 and possibly lose his license, which would likely end his real estate career.
And that's exactly what they want.
Wendy Griffith, CBN News.
Thank you, Wendy. Gordon, back to you.
Well, I hope this story gets you outraged, because I certainly am. There's a new thing coming, and it's called social media archaeology. Here you have a post. It's 9 years ago, before the rule was put in by the realtors, and they're taking a current rule and applying it to something that he did on his own Facebook page. So here you have a pastor. He's also a politician. He's also a realtor. At what point in time does the realtor have...
I wasn't aware that he was a pastor. That makes sense.
Association have the power to invade his private accounts, his political accounts, his political speech? Does their power really extend that far?
Yes, because this is the Norwellian society that we live in. This is where we're at. There was a post that we're going to talk about this later, but the social media giants are now implementing facial recognition scans to bar underage minors from getting on social media. Now, some may look at that and say that's a good thing, but again, we don't understand. You don't realize what precedent this sets. What standard that makes going into this as we go into the future, and this is what Gordon's talking about here. This is where we're at. They can pull up something from 9 years ago, and Facebook does it all the time, guys. I get hit with something that I posted 10 years ago and say it's false information. Because they don't, every single time, and this is a fact, guys. Our account on Facebook gets flagged for false information or misinformation or hate speech or whatever it is, or violent content. And it gets all these marks on it. Boom, boom, boom. And then we're in the red, and your page is at risk of being unpublished. And then we keep quiet, and we get out of the red zone, and we get in the yellow zone. And then right before everything starts falling off and we can actually get into the green, they will dig up something from 10 years ago. I completely forgot I even posted it, but they'll find it from 10 years ago conveniently so that they can flag my account and keep us always in the yellow, if possible, in the red. Why? Because they don't want certain influencers influencing society with the word of God and truth. That is the bottom line, guys. I don't care. I don't care what stupid speeches that Zuckerberg gets up and makes, and all of the lies being spewed of, well, We're not, you know, we've tamed down the suppression and shadow banning and censorships, and we may have crossed the line. You're still doing it. It just happened last week. You're censoring people's freedom of speech. You're censoring things that there's no way possible your independent fact checkers have a leg to stand on, calling themselves the arbitrators of truth over information that even the entire, our White House and the government and all these three-letter agencies don't know about, but yet the independent fact checkers do, and they can flag your account. What a joke, guys. Again, this is this Norwellian society that we live in. All right, let's go over to this story. Was interesting, and this one got a lot of flack too. A pastor was recently accused of, quote, ruining children's Christmas. And how did he ruin their Christmas? Because he told them the, quote, truth about Santa. Let's read this. A pastor, and again, this was in England, not here in America, but a pastor in England stands accused of ruining Christmas by telling a group of elementary children, school children, that Santa Claus doesn't exist. Again, this is the truth. However, the remarks delivered during a religious education lesson allegedly reduced several students to tears and angered parents. Speaking to a class of 10 and 11-year-olds, 10 and 11. Guys, if your kids are 10 and 11 and you're still telling them there's a Santa Claus, that's on you. Don't get mad at this pastor for telling them the truth. You shouldn't be lying to your kids anyway. Again, we've talked about this. Where we stand, we have never, never taught our kids Santa Claus, never taught our kids about the Easter Bunny, never taught our kids about the Tooth Fairy. Why? Because they're all fiction. They're all fables. And they're all imaginary figures. And again, the reason why we have never taught our, we've never participated in the Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy, Santa Claus, or any of these figures is because, listen to me, you are planting seeds of deception and doubt in your children's hearts so that when they get old enough and they find out there's no such thing as Santa Claus, there is no Easter Bunny, and there is no Tooth Fairy, they're going to be hurt, they're going to be angry. But then here you are trying to tell them that there's a God that loves them. There's Jesus Christ who died and rose again on the third day, and he's seated in heaven at the right hand of the Father, and they've never seen him, but yet you teach them that he exists and that he loves them and has a plan for their life. You know what they're going to do? They're going to equate this unseen God to the Tooth Fairy, who doesn't exist, even though you told him he did, to Santa Claus, who doesn't exist, even though you told him he did, and to the Easter Bunny, who you told them that he existed and he doesn't. So now they've equated God, Jesus Christ, into that same category. So they're going to look at you and say, okay, so strike one, strike two, strike three, and now you want us to believe in a God whom we cannot see, and you expect us to believe all that. And again, planting seeds of doubt. So what we did when we raised our kids is we told them the truth about Easter, that it's pagan. Its roots are paganism. Now there's the resurrection that has nothing to do with Easter. And that's what we've taught our kids. Number two, we didn't even entertain the notion of a tooth fairy. That's stupid. No, we never taught our kids that. You lose your tooth, you can keep it in a bag, whatever you want. No, we're not going to give you money because you lost your tooth. If you want us to go out and get you something to kind of ease the pain of you losing your teeth, that's fine. But we're not going to reward you for losing your tooth. That is, it's silliness. These are traditions that we've come up with, but they plant seeds of doubt and unbelief. Okay, the other thing is. And then if you teach them that there's a Santa Claus that's going from chimney to chimney, and we got to put out milk and cookies for this fictional character whose name is a lot like Santa or like Satan. It's very similar. And he gives gifts to all these children. And he's got a list of naughty and good and all this nonsense that we've come up with for, and we've done this tradition. Now, I know some of y'all is getting mad right there. You're getting offended at me just talking about this, but that's okay. Look, it's your kids. Do what you want with them. I'm just telling you that we made a point that when they were very young, we were not going to participate in these lies and these seeds of lies that can be planted in their heart so that it's going to present doubt and unbelief in their hearts when we try to present to them a God whom they've never seen. And we know the Bible says, blessed are those who've not seen yet believe. We walk by faith and not by sight. You can quote all them scriptures to these kids, but if you've told them these lies and they've been let down once, twice, three times, and however many other fictional characters that you've introduced in their life, then it's going to be a problem down the road. All right, let's get back to the article. So again, speaking to a class of 10 and 11-year-olds at St. Faith's Church, the Reverend Paul Chamberlain said, you're all year six. Now let's be real. Santa isn't real. Prompting audible gasp. Oh my gosh. And shock among the children. He shared this fact while discussing the nativity story. So now he's telling the truth. And as some students at the school sobbed in response to his assertion that their parents are the ones who purchase and wrap their Christmas gifts and eat the cookies left out for Santa. Quote, he also was saying what Santa likes. Someone said he likes cookies. Then he said, do your parents like cookies? He said, how the parents were the ones that were eating it. A 10-year-old pupil was quoted as saying the incident drew swift complaints from some parents. Lots of children started crying in class. Mom was upset, but she still believes, so I'm quite lucky. Let me say that again. Mine was upset, but she still believes, so I'm quite lucky. She's still not believing him, and she thinks he's lost the plot. So this mother is not upset because her child thinks that this preacher is full of baloney. And that Santa is real. And she's like, oh, I'm so comforted now. I'm so thankful now that my child is still believing the lie. And that's all that matters. Another parent whose 7-year-old child heard about the pastor's comments secondhand called the pastor's remarks absolutely disgusting, expressing worry over how to bring the magic back. Yeah, we got to bring that magic back. The parent added, quote, I don't want him anymore near my daughter. Hate speech. You're telling kids there's no Santa Claus. You are a hate monger. You're spreading hate speech. You're ruining the lives of children. And then you dare tell us about this nativity with this Jesus being born in it. How dare you? I hope he never comes into the school again, she said. The school had to email parents to reassure them. Yeah, this old fat St. Nicholas, he's the real deal. He's still coming to your house, kids, advising that all stories and legends around Christmas are recognized and that your own family beliefs are what are important and just as valid as the Christmas story. A spokesman for the Anglican Diocese of Portsmouth was quoted as saying, quote, Paul has accepted that this was an error of judgment and he should have not done so. He apologized unreservedly to the school, to the parents and the children, and their head teacher immediately wrote to all parents to explain this. So he was forced to apologize. Wow. I'm sorry that I told your children the truth. I crossed the line. The spokesman noted that the school and diocese had collaborated closely to address the matter and that a second message from the head teacher had been sent to parents, including the pastor's apology. A complaint had reportedly been lodged against Chamberlain, who was not expected to attend an upcoming carol service. So they banned him from a carol service because they don't want this guy ruining Christmas for any other children by telling them that Santa Claus is fiction. Wow. Wow. Guys, and we will get kickbacks on this. We will get kickback on this. You'll get people in the comment that will have the same sentiment as these parents did. They were angered at the preacher for telling the kids the truth. Well, it's not his place to do that. That's mine. Well, if your kid's 11 years old and still believes in Santa Claus, we got a problem here, folks. I know. Listen, you get mad and unfollow us. That's okay. Get on the list. Join the list of unfollowing us. That's all right. We're going to keep preaching the truth anyway. Because, listen, Halloween and Christmas are huge kickbacks that we get all the time. Because if you mess with people's Santa Claus and you mess with people's Halloween, they don't like it. They get very upset about that stuff. They get all bent out of shape over that. I just wish people had this same tenacity and this same righteous indignation and anger. I wish they had this same attitude in regards to when someone mocks our Lord Jesus Christ, when they mock the nativity scene, when they're putting a satanic display up in the capital of a city. Where's the righteous indignation over that? Where is the righteous indignation over this realtor? Where's the people rallying around this realtor whom they dug up stuff on him from 9 years ago and telling him that you're not going to post scripture on your social media page and we're going to shut you down and we're going to make an example out of you? Where are you at? Where's your righteous indignation on that? Oh, that's right. You'd rather fight to dress your kids up as goblins and witches and some fictional characters and go around and participate in a demonic holiday filling their plastic pumpkin up with candy. You'd rather defend that. You'd rather defend a fat dude in a Santa Claus outfit with reindeers and full of presents going down the chimney eating the cookies and milk that you laid out and festering lies to your children. By God, I'll stand up and defend that. But you're silent on what really matters. You're silent on the unborn. Good grief. Wake up, people. Wake up. Meanwhile, we got all kinds of nonsense that keeps going on. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about our Canadian brothers and sisters. Look at this story. In Ontario, Canada, one town was fined $10,000. What in the world? Why did they get fined $10,000? You ready for this? Because they refused to celebrate Pride Month. Let's read a little bit of this. An Ontario town has been fined $10,000 in its officials' order to complete mandatory human rights training. So they were fined $10,000, and the officials of this town have been ordered to complete a mandatory human rights training after it refused to celebrate Pride Month. Emo is a township of 1,300 people located in the far west of Ontario along the border with Minnesota. In a decision handed down recently, the Human Rights Tribunal of Ontario ruled that Emo, its mayor, and two of its councillors had violated the Ontario Human Rights Code by refusing to proclaim June as Pride Month. Wow! Now, you say, well, this is Canada. I'm telling you guys, this is coming to America. Now, you want to talk about the days of Lot, Luke 17? This is the absolute epitome of this. This is the poster child for this. When you are forcing cities to participate, and proclaim a month as a particular holiday or recognition of something that the Bible calls an abomination, my friends, this is going into a whole other arena here. But this is exactly what's happening. So they're being forced to participate. No, you will participate, or else you're going to be fined $10,000. You're going to be forced to endure human rights training The town was also cited for failing to fly an LGBTQ rainbow flag. Unbelievable, guys, that we're talking about this. It just gets more and more bizarre. Could you imagine if your town, I can't imagine my town where I live, my city, being fined thousands of dollars, officials being forced to endure training, let's call it what it is, reprogramming, and forcing them to put a LGBT flag up in the city. Look at this, and look, let me read this. Despite the fact that they don't even have an official flagpole. Wow, they don't even have a flagpole up. And the town was cited for not flying a gay flag, and they don't even have a flagpole. The dispute began in 2020 when the township was approached by the group Borderline Pride with a written request to proclaim June as Pride Month. Unbelievable. Attached to the letter was a draft proclamation including clauses such as Pride, look at this, is necessary to show community support and belonging for LGBTQ individuals and the diversity of sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression represents a positive contribution to the society. Guys, it has 1,300 people. How many people of 1,300 could possibly be LGBTQ? Do we really need to enforce all of this stuff on 1,300 people? Wow. Emo was also asked to fly the rainbow flag for a week of your choosing. Oh, that's awfully nice of them. At least they let them choose the week that they get to fly the flag. Borderland Pride then asked Emo to, quote, email us a copy of your proclamation or resolution once adopted and signed. Guys, this is absolutely disgusting. Now, let's stop here for a second. Let's put the shoe on the other foot, shall we? What if we formed an organization with a Christian flag? Because you know there's a Christian flag, right? And it has the cross on it. And we went and we started going to a city of your choice, 1,300, 13,000, 30,000, whatever. And we wrote up a proclamation. We demanded that city and its officials recognize our Christianity, and you're going to put up our flag. Now, we're going to let you choose which week to do that, but you're going to put it up. Oh, you don't have a flagpole? Well, too bad. I guess you're going to have to go out and get it, and you're going to put it up. And you're going to recognize our organization. And if you don't, then you're going to be fined $10,000. Oh, and by the way, we want you to email us by the end of the week, and we want to see a picture showing us that flagpole with that flag up and in written proclamation that you are acknowledging our organization with our flag. What do you think would happen? They're going to laugh you to scorn and show you the door. But this group can push this. Oh, now you. And yet we get people all the time that email me and our ministry and say, you end time preachers, you're so hyperbolic and you just constantly promote hyperbole and fear mongering and all this nonsense and always trying to tell us we're in the end times. How much more proof do you need? Is it going to take these people, the officials coming to your doorstep in your city and telling you this kind of stuff? Is it going to take them coming to your house, knocking on your door and telling you to take down your American flag because it's offensive to somebody in your community? Take down your flag that represents Christianity? officials coming to your house and telling you that you have violated city laws because you've got too many people at your Bible study, your home, and your residence. Oh, that's right. It is happening. But yet, we get attacked. And we're the bad guys because we're calling this stuff out and we're informing you of what's happening. We're the fear mongers. So let me give you a little follow up on this. The mayor refused to capitulate. And as a result of this, let me show you what happened next. This is unbelievable. This is something, guys, that is frightening, and it should be to all of us. The mayor's bank account was garnished by this LGBT group after the town refused Pride Proclamation. Are you kidding me? Can you believe this is happening? The mayor of this small town is facing a bank levy from his own personal account following a legal battle with a Pride group who compared their legal victory to sexual intercourse. Yes, I said it. It's there. This is disgusting. This is demonic, guys. This mayor had funds garnished from his personal bank account following his refusal to comply with the Human Rights Tribunal order after the governing body found that the town of Emo, with a population of 1,400, I guess they added an additional 100 people since their initial report of this. I wonder who they probably are. They are calling this a violation of the Ontario Human Rights Code by not recognizing the LGBT Pride Month. The decision stems from a legal case initiated by, we don't want to get into all this. We've already talked about this, so let me skip down here. The tribunal's ruling delivered on November the 20th, penalized McQuaker personally. So he got a personal penalization with a $5,000 fine. It's $3,533 and required him to undergo diversity, equity, and inclusion training. That's the insult to injury. This guy was fined over $3,500, and then he was forced to undergo diversity, equity, and inclusion training. Additionally, the township itself was fined $7,066. And the two other town councilors who voted against the proclamation were also mandated to complete the same training. McQuaker, 77 years old, wow, vocally opposed the tribunal's decision referring to the financial penalty as extortion. I utterly refuse to pay $5,000 because that's extortion. Despite his protest, Borderland Pride took to social media to announce that they had successfully garnished the mayor's bank account. I want to read you this. This is what they said. Quote, sure, sex is great, but have you ever garnished your mayor's bank account after he publicly refused to comply with the tribunal's order to pay damages? This is sick and disgusting. And they posted this on their social media account. Yet that can stay up, no recourse to that, but yet a realtor, a pastor, and a politician gets up and quotes a scripture, and look what happened to him. Borderland Pride director Douglas Judson, an attorney, later described the mayor's refusal to pay a public temper tantrum and the group intend to collect our judgment. Wow. Do you hear that? Borderland Pride director. An attorney later described the mayor's refusal to pay a public temper tantrum and the group intends to collect our judgment. A spokesperson for Borderland Pride said they have not yet garnished the township's funds as they await further legal proceedings regarding the fine imposed on the town. In a letter sent but just before the tribunal hearing, Judson warned Emo's municipal council that it could avoid the tribunal hearing by agreeing to specific demands such as offering an apology, committing to mandatory DEI training, and agreeing to undisclosed financial terms. Fooey on that. I don't blame this mayor. Come on, man, stand up. And he is. We should be standing behind this guy. I know he's in Canada, but kudos to this guy. I would not apologize and would not back down from this. Look at this, and it goes on. Additionally, the letter called for the township to pledge support for future Pride proclamations, ensuring that they would affirm rights without alteration. The letter also proposed that Emo provide free facilities for a charitable drag event with proceedings benefiting the local public library. Why? So they can probably have the transgenders come in there and read story hour to the children. Unbelievable. Let me read on. Furthermore, Emo's only flagpole located at the town's municipal office is reportedly dedicated to the Canadian flag. Well, we need to take it down. Take down that Canadian flag and put up the LGBT flag. Now, I want to read this last part. In response to the tribunal's ruling, the Christian Heritage Party issued a statement decrying the use of legal instruments to enforce ideological conformity. The conservative Canadian Party described the situation as, quote, outrageous, and it should be, and warned of a broader agenda to suppress dissent. Quote, first the government froze the bank accounts of pandemic lockdown protesters, then they seized donations to crowdfunding sites. Now, in woke Canada, bend the knee or far left extremists will garnish your bank account. Quote, the state using legal instruments to take from one person and give to other amounts to communism and authoritarianism that could scare everybody Canadian, the statement read. Wow, guys. If you're, again, your blood pressure should be like mine right now, and it's elevated. This stuff is unbelievable, and it's happening. All right, meanwhile, federal prisons are blocking faith groups from helping offenders overcome criminal past. Apparently, that's offensive now. Two senators are demanding answers from the Federal Bureau of Prisons about why it rejected several officers from faith-based organizations looking to, quote, help convicted offenders avoid relapsing into criminal behavior. Sounds like a good thing to me. Why is this being opposed? These two senators requested documents detailing the BOP's process for selecting applicants and other information in a letter to the agency's director. At issue is the agency's implementation of the First Step Act signed into law in 2018 by former President Donald Trump. The act which seeks to reduce recidivism rates called the development of policies for prisons to partner with nonprofit and other private organizations, including faith-based art and community-based organizations that will deliver recidivism reduction programming on a part of volunteer basis. A 2022 First Step Act annual report shows that BOP received 11 external applications to provide evidence-based recidivism reduction and productive activities, according to the letter. The agency approved 4, one as in EBRR and others as PA, and only approved, and only one program was faith-based. Okay, so let's go on down here. Of the 8 external faith-based applications, 5 were denied, 2 were approved, while another remains pending review. To the best of our knowledge, the 2 that have been approved are PAs, meaning they are currently 0 external faith-based EBRRs operating within BOP. These numbers are concerning, particularly at a time when individuals across the BOP system are on wait lists to participate in this programming. The politicians did not name the faith-based groups who submitted applications that the Bureau denied. According to the letter that was provided, all of the requested information, in addition to requesting all documents related to selection process, the lawmakers asked for complete data on all applicants selected or rejected since the First Step Act passed. And of course, the Christian Post reached out to the Bureau of Prisons, and the agency said that if it responds directly to members of Congress and their The agency said that it responds directly to members of Congress and their staff. So again, we have to ask ourselves, why? Why is the why are federal prisons blocking faith groups from coming in and giving hope to offenders, helping them? reading the Word of God to them, teaching them the Word of God, preaching them, helping them restore and overcome their past. This is just, it's stuff that just makes you just shake your head. Now, speaking of stuff that makes you shake your head, let's talk about this story. Now, this is a story, this is in Los Angeles, by the way. A Los Angeles gynecologist has surrendered his medical license for allegedly hectoring a patient about Jesus and prescribing Bible study. Look at that. Look at that verbiage. And of course, this is from the Independent, so I'm not surprised. Let me read this again. A gynecologist surrendered his medical license for allegedly hectoring a patient about Jesus prescribing Bible study after she revealed having an abortion 34 years prior. 34 years prior, the 63-year-old woman went to this doctor in September of 2021 for a routine exam, during which an assistant first asked a series of preliminary questions, including whether or not she had ever terminated a pregnancy. The woman said she underwent an elective abortion in 1987, according to a disciplinary filing by the Medical Board of California. When Cox, who is 75 years of age, entered the room, again, this is the gynecologist, he pressed a woman for further details about the abortion and asked if she, quote, had Jesus in her life. Uh-oh. When the woman told Cox she was not religious, the filing says that Cox asked if she wanted to, quote, go to heaven and avoid the devil, telling her that the devil is ruling the world. Again, everything he's saying here is not untrue. It's truth. He witnessing to this woman, do you have Jesus in your life? He asked her, do you want to go to heaven and avoid the devil or hell? He said the devil is ruining the world. True, true, truth, and true, all truth. He then spent the next 15 minutes, quote, proselyting. He then spent the next 15 minutes proselyting before inviting her to attend his Bible study class, which Cox said offered, quote, counseling for women who suffer from guilt following an abortion. Now, look at this. Cox is no longer allowed to practice as of Tuesday, or when this was reported, then called his assistant back into the room and administered a pelvic exam and pap smear. The woman complained to state regulators, who launched a probe and discovered a second patient of this doctor had reported him to authorities back in 2014 for attempting to examine her uterus rectally without first warning her. So this is all other stuff, guys. It's not even relevant to what we're talking about here. But here is the point, guys. This is the reality of the world that's been shaped and that we live in now. Again, Jesus has to be put in a box. He has to be confined to your home. You cannot talk about him on social media. You cannot quote the Bible. You cannot, if you're a state official, a local official, if you're an official in any setting, and you have conviction and you stand on that, and even so much so that you choose willfully to not participate in something that violates your standards and your morality, then you're going to be faced with consequences. Fines, ridicule, mockery, made example of, your own personal wages garnished from you, forced to sign paperwork, laws intact. Apparently Jesus is no longer allowed in federal prisons because this can offend somebody. We can't have that. This is the reality that we're in, guys. If you're in a profession, education, the medical industry, retail, again, if you talk about Christ and someone has a demon on them or in them, or they're oppressed by the world, they're anti-religious, they're anti-God, they're just full of evil and hate, they will quickly throw you to the wolves. I'm going to read this verse of scripture, and then I'm going to close this out today. Let's go over to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24. Now, remember, when they came to Christ, they said, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And he gives them a whole list, and he gets down here to verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and you, right there. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended. Remember, we just talked about that. They'll be offended. They'll be offended at your testimony. They'll be offended at you talking about God. They'll be offended at you telling them they need Jesus. And they'll be offended about you warning them about a devil's hell. They will be offended. And it'll be so bad that, quote, they will betray one another and will hate one another. There'll be family betrayal. There'll be neighbors reporting neighbor. Mothers will be reporting daughters, fathers, sons, aunts, uncles, nephews, relatives will be reporting one another, co-workers reporting co-workers. All of this right here, guys, has been warned. We've been warned about this. Then over in John 16, all of these things I've spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. It's interesting. He says you should not be made to stumble. In other words, you got to get rooted and grounded in the Word of God and know that these things are going to happen. God doesn't intend for you to stumble. He doesn't intend for you to fall. He doesn't intend for you to collapse in your faith, but stand firm. All of these things I've spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. We could say churches. They'll put you out of the synagogues. They'll put you out of the churches. They'll put you out of homes. They're going to throw you out into the street. Yes, the time is coming that whoever you will think that he offers God's service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. So that he even takes a step further. John says there'll come a time when they will eliminate you, citing that they're doing God's work and service. And this has happened before in history, and it will happen again in the future. Guys, if you think this is just something that you're just flabbergasted about, wait until the rise of the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the one world religion. Now, that one world religion will force conversion. They will force convert the people in the tribulation. You either submit to the beast system and take that mark and worship that image, or your fate will be, and John tells us what their fate will be. They will be beheaded for their testimony. So this is why, and I'm going to leave you with this. This is why I implore you that it's time to get right with God. Because again, I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, but I've always said, I'm not going to be dogmatic about that. I'm a pre-tribulation rapture. But listen, if I'm wrong, then I'm ready. I'm ready to endure and have to go through that thing. But are you? And if I'm right, wonderful, great. If I'm wrong, guess what? Wonderful, great. It doesn't matter because I'm still in him. The key is, guys, it doesn't matter if you're pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. The key is, are you in him? Are you found in him? Is your name inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life? Because that's what's going to matter. Because you're either going to go in two groups. You're either going to go in the first loadout, if I'm right, or you're going to have to be martyred for your faith down the road. Now, if the tribulation tarries and this is something way down, that's not any time within the next 25, 30 years, whatever, many of us are going to, we're going to die of whatever. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. So it doesn't matter. The key is, again, do you know him? Are you found in him? Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? If it's not, you're on the fence, you're backslid, you don't know God, whatever the case would be, right now is the time to repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Stop playing games. Get you a Bible. begin to read that Bible, read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, begin to read the New Testament, begin to learn who Christ is, learn what he did for you, learn all these things, get plugged into, if possible, a Bible-believing, doctrinally sound, Spirit-filled church that believes the whole Bible. And if that's not possible to you, we welcome you to our ministry, and we'd love to have you a part of our End Time Headlines family here. But we want you to be rooted and grounded and grow in your faith. So listen, let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every individual in the sound of my voice. If there's anybody that may be watching, maybe they stumbled in by podcast, by Apple, by Spotify, or they came in by YouTube, or they came in by Rumble, and they're away from you, or they don't know you. Father, I pray right now that they would repent of their sins, that they would confess their sins before you, Heavenly Father, for you said there is no other name given under heaven unto men in which we must be saved, and that is the name of Jesus. Father, we know that even that right there, even that phrase is offensive to many, to make that assertion that there's only one way and one path to heaven, but that's exactly what the Bible says. You said that no man can come unto the Father, but he come through the Son. You said you are the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to the Father except through the Son. And the Holy Spirit draws them in. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're drawing these to you right now in Jesus' name. As you repent of your sins, as you confess your sins, as you get back into the fold, I pray that the Lord bless you, that he keep you, and that you, again, you would be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep you in all of your ways. And I pray this today in Jesus' mighty name. Listen, guys, stick around for just a second. We've got some announcements real quick. Again, tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, we got prayer. We have our devotional and prayer time. We'll give you a 15, 20-minute devotional, and then we're going to get into some prayer. We're going to pray about some things. We're going to pray over you and your family as you're traveling and as you're already on the road or whatever the case may be. So again, if you're watching anywhere else outside of YouTube, why don't you come over here and subscribe to us so you can be a part of these live sessions like this and breaking news and everything else that we put out. And again, guys, if you've not picked up our free app, this is how you're going to keep up with all of our ministry and everything that we're doing. Pick it up today on Apple, Android, hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be squared away. And of course, guys, our ministry is a partner supported based ministry. Everything we do is absolutely free. We just feed the sheep, and we just rely on partners like you. And if you're not a partner of our ministry, we'd love for you to pray about becoming one. You can go into 2025 and become a partner of our ministry. And you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app. You go to the website. You can right there on YouTube up at the top where it says it's pinned and it says support. You can click there. So there's many, many ways you can give electronically, or you can give by check or money order right there on your screen at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So listen, we love you guys. We appreciate you. Thank you for coming on to the broadcast. We're going to let you go for now, and we'll see you guys in a few hours at 8 p.m. Eastern tonight. See you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.